And then Jughead's response is that he pronounces it multitudes.
Yes,
and
I contain multitudes.
And then it flashes immediately to another scene of Jughead saying multitudes. So he knows how to say it.
Well, Rivervale Jughead knows how to say it. Because that's flashed to Rivervale.
Good point.
This version of Jughead, Riverdale Jughead, says multitudes. Maybe.
So do you think in Rivervale they say Albany?
Hello, pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO Riverdale. I'm Louie Pearlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
And this is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast, hosted by two comedians who are too old to be watching this show. We were too old when this show started, and now we are multiple seasons in, and we are really quite old.
Elderly.
Elderly, almost, yes. If you like what you are hearing, you can follow us on social media and write to us, as our old friend KJ did this week. Super fun. We had a little dialogue with
different
them.
KJ.
Oh, that was a whole different KJ.
No, same KJ. I'm just being different than Archie KJ.
Oh, yeah, that's our listener KJ, who's a longtime listener and we love. Yeah, different than KJ Appa, who plays Archie. KJ Appa did not write into us on Twitter.
But every time Twitter friend KJ does, I think, wait a minute.
Is KJ Appa writing to us?
That'd be insane.
It would be very strange, yes. And, you know, if you like what you're listening to, please hit that subscribe button on whatever podcatcher you use, because that's just a great way to keep up with us. We're dealing with Chapter 109, Venomous. But before we get to it, what's going on in the world of Riverdale fandom? Kate Vatter.
We have a good TikTok from the three ladies and then a reenactment of the TikTok from the three ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which are fun in very different ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The ladies, so Cammy, Madeline, and Lily did a little choreographed dance, which I don't know if it's the like official TikTok dance or if they made it up.
It's sort of, it's a pretty loose version of the dance that everybody's doing to that sound cue. Yeah.
Okay, to the sound cue, which I did look up because I was like, who the fuck is this? And it is Louis Theroux, the documentarian, rapping. And I will say the first line is, my money don't jingle jangle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fun little Riverdale tie-in. That
yeah, maybe that's why it's so popular, is because Riverdale's
it's
so popular.
It's because of Riverdale. They're like, you know what? It's Riverdale.
And it's because everybody remembers Jingle Jangle.
Right. It's like the main takeaway from Riverdale.
That's right. That's that one where the drug is called Jingle Jangle.
Right. Mm-hmm. When I hear Jingle Jangle, even though he's clearly referring to coins. And then, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say, you think Riverdale.
Yep. Mm-hmm. My money don't jingle jangle. It folds. It folds like someone under pressure on the show. It's not about money. It's about Riverdale.
And then there was this celebrity recreation of it, or this recreation by a TikToker.
Yeah, this TikToker Instagram guy named Corey O'Brien, who does a lot of like recreations of famous choreography and makes like very knockoff costumes for it. And does them all by himself, so he played all three of the ladies, did it, which gave it a little bit more of an audience, because I will say that I follow him on my Instagram, and I don't think the women have an Instagram, and I'm too old to regularly check TikTok. So I assume he gave them a little bit of a boost with his recreation.
And that's really what it's all about at the end, is women elevating women. Right, Kate?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that news. Super, super fun. So everybody check that out. And now, oh, I do actually have a tiny bit of news I just remembered. I picked up the free Comic Book Day release that's called The Best Archie Comic Ever. And I'm reading through it, and quite frankly, so far, don't know if I feel that way about it. So far, can't really follow what's going on, and I've read a lot of Archie comics over the years, so.
Yeah. I didn't have high hopes when you told me what it was called, so yeah. It's interesting to see that I was right.
Real setup for failure there.
They really did. They were a little too Icarus in the...
A little too Icarus. Speaking of Icarus, do you think that chapter 109, Venomous, was a little too Icarus-y, flying a little too close to the sun and its concepts? What do we think about this episode?
I think it was a lot of, like, to quote Cheryl, cuckoo bananas, but they did, like, justify a lot of it, which we're not used to.
That's a fair assessment. I like that. Yeah, I agree with that.
I wasn't confused at any point, really. Like, I'd be confused for, like, 2 seconds, and then they'd quickly, like, clean it up. So, even though it was, like, insane, and I do have one big question, but...
I have a few big questions.
It's not really relevant to the
podcast. It sounds like we've got a bit of a podcast rarity, and that is when Kate likes an episode more than Louie.
Yeah, that doesn't happen much.
It doesn't happen much. I just kind of felt like this episode was going through the paces. I didn't feel like much happened that I found particularly interesting. And this was the second episode in a row to really focus on the core four and Cheryl. And ultimately, I certainly am not missing that absolute bullshit custody battle story.
Baby
line.
Anthony?
Yeah, I'm not missing hearing about baby Anthony every 5 minutes, but I do miss at this point seeing and hearing from the other characters.
Yeah. This episode did not move a plot at all.
No, not so much, no. It did really delve into the powers aspect of everything, which I'm sure is setting some stuff up for later, and that's fine. But there's really no why wasn't Moose in this episode? He should have been in every scene just being like, whoa, guys, that's weird.
I almost put him on my crush list anyway, in just like in memoriam of Moose.
I know, because he's gone again now, at least for a little bit. I'd really like them to make him, you know, recurring.
Yeah, what are his powers?
His powers are that he looks at everyone and everyone falls in love with him.
That's a great power.
Because he's such a nice dreamboat man.
Yeah, and he's a real cutie patootie.
Yeah, and he's nice. And he's always nice. I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is the episode that really starts with the very Marvel Comics-y statement that superpowers are hard.
Yeah, and it shows how hard Betty has it by showing a vial of a liquid drug that is generic Tylenol.
Yes, very hard for Betty. She has to be taking Tylenol. It's very difficult.
She seems to have to inject it for some reason.
Yes, she's injecting Tylenol. And then we have this, it is confirmed that Veronica basically has the powers of Poison Ivy. She's got poison flowing through her veins. We realize very quickly, despite the fact that they lead you on in the show, that, like, it's not going to be harmful to her, despite what Dr. Kirtle is saying.
Yeah, Dr. Kirtle in this episode, for a coroner, sure is practicing medicine.
Yeah, like, everybody seems to be going to Dr. Kirtle now for their medical needs.
That was part of it. He, at one point, prescribes dialysis?
Yes.
That's a specialty.
Yes,
of
that's
which Dr. Kirtle does not pursue.
Yeah, that's a thing that Dr. Kirtle apparently can do now, is prescribe dialysis.
Are there no doctors anywhere? It seems like some of this they should maybe consider going out of town for.
Yeah, it's like he had doctor in front of his name. You know, like, they could have gone to, like, Dr. John, the famous, you know, piano player from New Orleans, and gotten him to prescribe dialysis, you know? It was very weird.
And yeah. We know they're in New York State because they all go to Albany. They all say Albany wrong. Archie said it wrong.
They all say it wrong. That is true.
They all say Albany.
That is true. But we do know now that they are in upstate New York somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Right. Near fictional Albany.
Near Albany. Albany. And then Archie has his only confrontation this episode with Percival. Where Percival is reminding us that he's going to, you know, destroy Pops to build this railroad, which is, like, so old-fashioned villainous, but very fun. But just want to note that Percival has this palladium ring that's keeping Archie from getting too close. And that is the same plot motif as Lex Luthor, who for a long time in the Superman comics had a kryptonite ring so that Superman could not touch him. But then the kryptonite ring ended up giving Lex Luthor cancer and he died. And I'm wondering if the same thing will happen to Percival. That'd be an interesting parallel, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, especially because they like really call out kryptonite a lot.
They do. They say kryptonite like 7 times in the first 5 minutes of this episode, and then it is not mentioned again, which is fine, I guess.
Did we ever figure out if palladium was real? Because Krypton is a real element.
Krypton is an element.
That they named then, after.
Yes, yes. And also, like, kryptonite and all of that, there's really no basis, you know. That's all just fun comic
book stuff. Went the other, oh, that's right. So palladium is real. So they only name real elements.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'm so glad that they're using a real element for this. That's just great.
Good for them.
And is Krypton named after the Superman comics?
100%, yeah.
Oh, I totally thought Krypton was named after the element. That's interesting. That's super fun. I love that.
The element was like only discovered like 15 years ago, so they straight up named it Krypton.
Oh, I think that's very, very, very fun. I love it. I had no idea.
Scientists have fun like that.
You could just have fun. You can just be a comic book fan and a scientist all at once.
Yep.
So,
so we find that Heather is a librarian.
Yeah.
In Greendale.
Yep. Home of Sabrina. Just a reminder. Yep.
So Cheryl references her sphere of knowledge, which is just a magic eight ball.
Didn't this seem kind of lame to you? I didn't love this.
It was very lame. And then, like, especially because she just keeps going against it. So, like, what's the point? But we did get some insanely sassy Nana Rose in this. Like, she's like me.
Well, it's just a whole, she was mean. And then also it's just another Nana Rose behaving however the writers want her to behave.
Yeah.
Because Nana Rose all of a sudden was like, perhaps you should send her an email. Like, Cheryl and Nana Rose are all of a sudden like biffles, you know?
Yeah. And then turns on her in the episode. Jeez.
Yes. And then she's quite mean to Cheryl.
The word I used was savage.
Yes, it was a savage takedown, absolutely. And then we have Archie and Juggy looking through Jughead's comic book collection, which of course has been referenced in the Rivervale part of the show, but hasn't really been mentioned here. And then Archie in character calls out the poor writing of the show.
Yep.
Where he says, "Boy, Jughead, I had no idea you were so into comic books."
And then Jughead's response is that he pronounces it multitudes.
Yes, and I contain multitudes.
And then it flashes immediately to another scene of Jughead saying multitudes. So he knows how to say it.
Well, Rivervale Jughead knows how to say it. Because that's flashed to Rivervale.
Good point.
This version of Jughead, Riverdale Jughead, says multitudes. Maybe.
So do you think in Rivervale they say Albany?
Is that one of the things about this world, is that they just mispronounce all the words? Has Veronica been trying to say Tiffany's all along, but she's been saying Spiffany's because she doesn't know?
Airbnbs, Glamourgay eggs, they say them all the correct way in Rivervale.
Yeah, in Rivervale, they're all the real things.
That's so funny.
So then they discuss how Superman in the past has tried to create a tolerance for kryptonite, which I've read a lot of Superman comics. I don't remember that being a major plot point ever, and I certainly have read like all kind of like the big, most important storyline things.
The good news is that they instantly abandon that and go to Rasputin.
Well, yes. Before we get to the Rasputin stuff, which I thought was super fun, just want to shout out that I would have never expected it to happen on this show, but we get a reference to Mighty Mouse, and then they
Yeah.
giggle, and it's kind of light and actually really fun. And I just love Mighty Mouse. So I was thrilled to hear them talk about him on the show. That's
Yeah,
all.
it was fun. Jughead clearly had fun with that reference, and Archie just indulged him.
Yes, Mighty Mouse, who was invented in New Rochelle in the office building I used to work out of when I used to work in New Rochelle. Isn't that
New
fun?
Rochelle near the real Riverdale.
Near the real Riverdale, but still pretty far in, far away from Albany.
Albany.
Yeah. So then we get Dr. Curdle mansplaining to Veronica about how she's toxic. And right when I heard that, I was really hoping for a toxic musical number, and we got it. So
We,
thanks for that, Riverdale.
it wasn't the worst musical number.
It was not. We will get to it, obviously, but I did not hate it. I did
Nope.
not love it, but I did not hate it.
Nope.
And then we get into this concept of deep mind reading that Betty wants to, to have Jughead do, which is fine, I guess. Let's play fast and loose with Jughead's powers. Now he's like psychically going. It's actually very much resembles a certain scene that I do not want to spoil for anybody from the new Doctor Strange movie, where someone
Oh.
goes inside someone else's head. Yeah. And then Cheryl agrees to cast a spell for Archie. And I'm like, that's great. Let's get that spell over with because I'm very bored with this whole Archie tries to become immune to palladium thing.
That's too bad because it's the whole
Because
episode.
it's the whole episode, absolutely. So then we come back from our break, and Archie is wearing a palladium necklace and hitting the punching bag until his knuckles bleed. And that was sort of felt like a creepy scene, and also like, sorry that Archie's putting him through that. And then we get this scene where the shareholders at the casino want to have a meeting with Veronica. Have we heard previous that the casino has shareholders?
Nope.
Right? This is a new thing, right?
Yep,
Okay.
new. And we find too, going back to Archie, that this palladium now, it doesn't make him not invincible. It makes him like particularly vulnerable.
Which is a kryptonite thing. Is the kryptonite like makes Superman sick? It makes it so that Superman, he's not only weak, he like kind of keels over and makes a lot of groaning noises and that kind of thing. So that feels somewhat similar, which is fine. And then we get a wonderful line from Nana Rose, where this is where Nana Rose says, well, she doesn't have a lot of experience with email, but don't people generally answer them quite promptly?
And the answer, by the way, is absolutely not Nana Rose.
Yeah. Or I would argue it's a real gamut depending on the context of the email and who you're talking to.
Yeah, there's some people who I am shocked to get a response within the week, and then some people where I expect one immediately.
Yep.
And I'm
And
going to be honest, I suspect Nana Rose has never sent an email.
no, Nana Rose doesn't need to send an email. Nana Rose just astrally projects herself to other people to talk to them when she needs to tell them something. And then Nana Rose gets referred to as the wonderful Russian folkloric witch, Baba Yaga, who I love. I love me Baba Yaga. Love that she's referred to as Baba Yaga in this. Baba Yaga, for those of you that don't know, just because it's fun, Baba Yaga is a witch who lives in a house made from the bones of children.
Great.
And the house is on top of two giant chicken feet, so the house can walk around on the feet. And she flies around in a mortar and pestle, like a giant mortar and pestle.
Great.
So she's a fucking nightmare. Love that character.
Love that for her.
Very scary. I used to tell Baba Yaga stories very, very, very watered down to a bunch of like tiny little kids that I used to teach at a summer camp, and they loved them. She was like their Freddy Krueger. So very popular.
Great.
Anyway, now Archie is so weak he can't open a can. So Betty does it for him, which is so nice. And then we get to the shareholders meeting.
Yep.
Where Reggie is a shareholder, and Veronica, with all her business acumen, wouldn't have thought to buy Reggie out before this sort of meeting would happen.
Yeah, this whole... she seems almost, well, mildly surprised that they're shareholders herself. Like, when did... I don't know, dude. Veronica's so weird this episode.
Agreed. Veronica is very strange this episode. I mean, okay, something we haven't talked about yet, but this is a good scene to talk about it. So, yes, I understand that Veronica is poison, but why all of a sudden is her favorite band The Cure?
That why girl is poison.
She should have been a big Belle Biv DeVoe fan. Absolutely. But instead, she's dressing like the gothiest of goths.
Yeah.
Like, Cheryl doesn't dress like this, and Cheryl's like a flat-out witch at this point.
Yeah.
And here's Veronica dressing like Wednesday Addams. It's really crazy.
The good thing, too, though, is that Reggie calls her out on that.
Well, yeah! And Reggie's right. It's like... What is happening? And it's never really fully explained.
Reggie is once again the most grounded person in Riverdale.
Yeah, until he slightly later on behaves in a kind of a shitty way that's like not appropriate.
Yeah. It feels more like shitty than inappropriate. Like,
you're right. It's him misbehaving.
It's like reasonable for him to like question things.
Yes. Well, yes, it is reasonable for him to question things. I do agree with that. And the other question that I have for this scene that has really not been explained is, this is still a plot point, how is this casino not making money?
She says they're starting to make, like, they're trending upwards, which makes me think there was, like, a really, really heavy investment up front.
Sure. It must have been very heavy, because casinos just produce money. That's what they do.
Yeah. They must have had to spend a lot of money buying that building. And then also, like, the whole thing with Percival is that no one goes to Riverdale so he can, like, take over. So I don't know who's going to the casino regularly enough.
Other than the Riverdale people.
Right, which we know there are not many of.
Yeah, there's so. 9 of them, and we only saw 4 of them in this episode.
Right. So it makes sense that maybe they're still working towards paying off those loans.
Maybe. Yeah, that is a fair assessment. And then, next scene, Jughead telling Betty to make your memories into something that can be a very thinly played with motif.
He says it that way in particular, too. That's what's interesting.
Yes, he says, do something that's very weak sauce for this episode, which is make your memories like a comic. And I thought it was cool him flipping through the comics in the long box, like they're actual comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that the logo of the comics looked like a classic Archie logo. Mm-hmm. But I would have liked it and think it would have been kind of cool and actually a little creepier if they had made a point to have the art drawn like a classic 1950s Archie comic.
Yeah.
Instead, it was just sort of this generic art style inside of them, which is a little disappointing.
What I will say is when he starts fingering through, you know, the end of the first act break when there's like the crackle and then like the thump with the Riverdale logo?
Yes.
It did that, but the thump was him like shifting, but it made like the crackle and stuff. It was very fun.
I knew you were gonna call that out, and I thought it was a little heavy-handed, but I did enjoy it.
I'm not saying it was like great. It was just fun.
Yes, it was fun. And I did enjoy, of course, seeing the flashbacks because it is fun to see how much the actors have aged and how handsome and cute they all are now, how nice they all look. My kids, I love them all so much. And then we get another shout out to Lachlan Monroe holding it together, another super fun Lachlan Monroe scene playing Hal Cooper. And it's like, I do feel like this is writing some series wrongs in that it was very clear the writers didn't know he was going to be the Black Hood. And now they're doing all these flashbacks in last episode and in this episode where we get to see him fill in the gaps for his character. And I
And
do
he's
like that.
super creepy. He does it really well.
He's excellent in all of this, and it's a shame that they couldn't have used it more when he was on the show properly. But yeah, but I like it. What I don't love is still the liberal use of the term groomer,
Rumor,
which is just feeling more and more like there's someone who's actually right wing who's on the staff, as opposed to it being used properly.
yeah,
I
or
agree.
someone who's like trying to like reclaim it without really thinking it through.
Yes. Yeah, reclaiming or using it in the proper way, but it's just so fast and loose that it makes us a little uncomfortable. Then we get this whole idea of titrating palladium for
In
Archie.
form of palladium soup.
What do you think that tastes like?
I will say that, like, you know how some people have issues with cilantro where it tastes like soap?
Yes.
For some people, it's like a little bit rarer. It tastes like metallic. And so for years I wouldn't get burritos because I thought I was like so bad at eating them out of tinfoil that I would like keep eating the foil. But it turns out I am an adult who doesn't eat the foil, but that's what cilantro tastes like to me, is like metal shavings.
So
And
is the,
I so I think it tastes like cilantro, but that's like a me thing.
Sure. No. I love that take on it. Because she says you could have some of my yummy palladium soup. But then it looks clear and gross.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't look yummy. I thought it was
It
going to look like chicken soup or something she had put palladium into, but
looks like
no.
the water they like rinse brushes in when they're painting their little watercolors.
Totally. It's just yucky cloud water. But then she talks about Rusputin, and I thought that was a fun analogy as well, talking about his resistance to poison. And then Veronica has this scene where she yells and screams at Reggie, and rightfully so.
And I will say, I was like, when did the camera angles get weird? And then it was like on purpose, which is nice. So good for them.
Yes, and then Reggie gets a little bleeding nose and starts feeling all bad. And I don't feel that bad for Reggie there because he's so nasty to Veronica, who's a nice lady. Yes. So Archie's drinking the soup, but the soup is making him sicker and sicker, and he collapses at the gym while he is punching the bag. Oh no, I'm sorry, he is jump roping.
Jump roping.
And but he seems to be okay. This isn't a hospital situation. This is just let's lie down for a rest situation. And then this is the part of the episode where they try to trick us into thinking Veronica's gonna die.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying that with everyone right now,
Yeah,
and
but
which makes I feel like almost devalues the possibility of Jughead dying.
well put. I do agree with that. And I still think that he's the only one that's perhaps in contention of dying.
Yeah, he's definitely
Yes.
the only one, but they're definitely making it seem like he's truly not going to die.
Yes. We'll see what happens with that. That's going to be a long-term thing, I think. Then we have more magic eight ball shit, which Cheryl ends up ignoring.
And picks up her cute little phone.
Her little lip phone.
It's
her
fun.
little landline lip phone, but she gets too nervous to speak to Heather, which I understand. And I feel for Cheryl in this episode. Cheryl's pretty lovely in this episode, which I like.
Cheryl's being a good friend.
Yeah, Cheryl's being a good friend. Like Cheryl's like using her powers for good, which I really like. I like this role for Cheryl. Let's keep her doing this for a while.
Yeah.
And then so, Archie is getting skinny.
Yeah, he weighs less than me in this episode.
Yeah, he does. He weighs less than me in this episode. Absolutely. Yeah. And we're not giant people, Kate.
No, he weighs in this episode 98 pounds. So he's only like 2 or 3 pounds lighter than us.
Exactly. Yes. I'm a tiny little straw
boy. I'm a tiny little twig.
Yeah. But yeah. And this was kind of interesting because this was a episode with just tracking with KJ shirtless. Mm-hmm. But KJ also was allowed to not look as buffed up. And I'm wondering if that has to do with the actor KJ Apa advocating for just like less of a workout routine. And this maybe is a little more what he naturally looks like.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, anyway, it's fine. And then and then Betty confronts Alice, or Betty wants, you know.
Betty remembers. She has Jughead goes into her memories and remembers Alice being diagnosed with the serial killer gene.
Yes, yes. And then, once again, this show has done something pretty remarkable. I feel bad for Alice again.
Yeah.
Do you feel bad for her here?
Yeah, I feel like, and then also because Betty like consistently goes after her when it's like, she's clearly dealing with a very bad person and doing the best she can to keep you safe, Betty.
Yeah, Betty's going after her when it's clear they're both victims of an abusive father.
Yeah.
Or, you know, abusive husband in Alice's case.
Yeah.
This feels actually to me a lot like the way they handled Veronica's relationship with Hermione, where it was mm-hmm. clear that Hermione was trying her best to protect Veronica from Hiram. And then Veronica would just yell and scream at Hermione. It would make us upset and feel bad for like the women on the show.
Yeah. Yes. And then Veronica calls Betty and is like, let's get drinks. And I'm like, is she trying to kill Betty? Like, didn't she just find out that she can like breathe poison on people?
Yes, but apparently because they have superpowers, they can avoid the danger.
Right, and why doesn't Reggie have a superpower at this point?
Yeah, is Reggie going to end up getting a superpower?
Because, like, everyone, like, Tabitha does, so why doesn't...
Kevin doesn't have one yet.
Right, but Kevin's a bad guy.
Yeah, well, Reggie's sort of being portrayed as
a
bad
guy. Oh, that's right,
guy.
We're supposed to think Reggie's the bad guy. Even
yes!
He's, like, the hero of Riverdale.
So then... Betty wants Jughead to read Alice's mind, mm-hmm. and Jughead feels really uncomfortable with that, and that should have been the end of it.
Yep.
But instead, and then, you know, Jughead says there's something under the floorboards because they, like, bust in on Alice's place of work, which makes me feel really bad for Alice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Also, I felt like we knew about a body under the floorboards at some point, and that they just like dropped it, maybe?
You are getting confused.
I know they buried the guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
And I remember that though. I still feel like we like there was like a Telltale Heart situation.
Was that and maybe that, like, in Rivervale or in something that we
this
don't
was,
remember?
Like, seasons ago. Like this was like season 2, season 3. There was like maybe someone buried in the house. And then they just, like, forgot about it. That's, like, it feels like we've seen this before.
Well, hey, to the credit of the show, it does feel like they are tying up some loose ends. Mm-hmm. And maybe that means that they're going to self-cancel, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Let's see what happens here. And then we get this scene with Cheryl and Archie where Cheryl is like, I'm going to put this metal inside of you and then I'm going to put the heat inside of you. And then it just sort of goes from heat and metal to like this whole idea of forging, which is kind of more of a complex process than just heating up metal. But
yeah.
I guess that's what it means in Magic Land. I don't
know.
Yeah,
well, she also doesn't know what anemia is, and everyone leans into it because they have never seen a physician in their life.
That's right. But this is how anemia works. And then Archie has one of the best lines that has ever been on the show. Can you guess what I'm going to say?
No.
Archie goes, "Forge me now!"
Great.
Which is absolutely insane. But then we learn it might kill him, so he wants to have one more night with Betty, which leads into these love scenes have somehow gotten stranger now that they're not taking off their clothes, really.
Yeah.
Now they lie on rugs and sort of exchange meaningful touches on each other's faces.
Yeah. Although I will say that, so Veronica's in the bath, like, trying different poisons while this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, way more erotic than, like, whatever was happening with
Definitely. Betty. Whatever was happening with Archie and Betty, I wrote sarcastically, very sensual love scene. Because it felt sort of like a scene from a 1970s couples instructional video for, like, you know, really taking in your partner.
Yeah.
So then we sort of get to the conclusion of how Veronica's powers work. Veronica is immune to the poison, and when she secretes it, it's emotionally based. And she's talking about this with Cheryl, and then Cheryl does something which also feels like a beginning of the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She gives Veronica her iconic spider brooch.
Yep. It felt very final, or like it needs to end up back with Cheryl somehow. Like, I don't like that brooch being with Veronica.
Yeah, like that if the series ends with maybe Veronica dying,
yeah,
then the brooch goes back to Cheryl and there's some sort of full circle thing that happens.
Yeah,
with it.
However and whenever it ends, that brooch has got to get back to Cheryl.
That is fair. But for now, I think that's an interesting move for the show. Like, I think that's cool. I like that part of this episode. So, then I just want to address this scene where Betty now understands why her mother was so controlling and was so frightened of the other children and of Betty and wanting Betty really just to stay home and all those aspects, because she was trying to control this dark thing inside of Betty that Betty's father is nurturing, et cetera, et cetera. And instead of Betty, this being a major breakthrough for Betty, where she kind of like gets contemplative and maybe cries and maybe forgives her mother, which should have absolutely happened in this scene properly.
Right, in the scene with a dead cop under the floorboards.
Yes, with the dead cop under the floorboards. Instead, what does Betty do? She just yells and screams at her mom, and then, like, Matt and Amchek's just giving this performance that's, like, really nice and grounded. It makes me feel so awful for the character. Oh, my God.
All of the young women in this show should go see Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes, mothers... It's hard being a mother. I agree with that. They should go see it, and they should talk about it ad nauseum like they did for Love, Simon.
Yeah.
Should be like, do you see Everything Everywhere All at Once? What are you seeing Everything Everywhere All at Once? Everything Everywhere All at Once! They should do that.
Yep.
And speaking of which, smart food, smart food,
smart food!
Food. Canva, Canva, Canva!
Well, before the scene is the forging scene.
Yes,
which
I
KJ had... so much fun filming.
Like, yeah, KJ's like, wah!
When he like really starts to light fire and is like shaking, oh, he is having a blast.
Yeah, KJ's like, thanks for making me have fun on Riverdale again, 100%.
Oh man, just like,
and Cheryl's hands are glowing like she's a fucking Jedi. I'm loving this.
This scene is great. They're in the mines for some reason.
Yes, they're in the mines! Because of the metal theme.
Right, sure, that's why not?
It's a shame. We could have totally gotten a Harvey Kinkle cameo in the mines, but no, Harvey Kinkle is no longer a thing.
Nope.
And I love him. Anyway. <Yep. laughs> So then we get smart food, smart food, smart food, Canva, Canva, Canva.
Yep.
And I do like that Veronica's like, I'm going to test out if I cannot kill Reggie. Because she, like, so doesn't care about him anymore, which I think is right. And then Archie has been fixed because of Cheryl's spell, so...
He is more invincible than he... Like, because before it was like he was Wolverine healing.
Yes.
And now he just, like, can cut himself.
Now he's Superman, where, yeah, he's got, like, skin of steel. Absolutely. Right,
because he's been forged.
And then another line happens in this next scene where they're all having drinks. Mm-hmm. That is just insane. Where Betty says to Veronica, "We got to get you your main character energy back."
This whole thing, yeah. So first of all, this is the weirdest shareholders conference that has ever happened for any company.
Before we get to that, I just want to ask you, were you getting some really strong, "We saw you across the bar and we like your vibe" vibes from
Betty
and Archie in that scene with Veronica?
Yeah, this whole thing, like, so that's weird. And I'm like, there's no way this is going to be normal. And then we see the shareholder conference where it's just like Veronica talking. And that already is weird enough because it gets weirder. But
yes.
Then the scene is like, they explain that like Veronica like should kiss Archie. But I'm like, what's the point? Is she doing it at the conference? Is she doing it in front of, like, what is the point of her kissing Archie? And there isn't one.
I guess what they're trying to say, but it got really rushed, and this is me putting in a lot of work, is that she was upset that her last kiss that was meaningful was with Reggie. So she wanted to be with someone she actually liked as a person.
Right, but why is this meaningful?
That is a question that is above my pay grade.
The whole scene is just insane.
So then we get Jughead is, first of all, this is the toxic musical number.
Yes.
Loved the wipes, the rectangular wipes that kept happening.
Yep.
Which I believe is a motif from the Toxic music video. I believe that they do that in the Toxic music video.
Yeah, the Toxic video is very triangular. Similar.
Yes, that's right. The Toxic music video is very triangular. That's
like, it's
right.
her outfit too, the choreo, which the choreo in this was great. It was different than the video, but very, very good.
The choreo, which was spider-themed.
It was so fun, actually.
It was fun.
It does not take place in an airplane, which is once again a stray, because if I recall correctly, they did Slave for You, and I was like, where's the snake? So they are once again using Britney and once again straying from what the people really want, but... It was fun.
Yeah, this was pretty dope. Yeah.
It was maybe one of my favorite musical numbers in that it didn't infuriate me the way 98% of them do.
Well, I think that something that they did, which maybe is them learning from their past mistakes, is that the entire show did not ground to a halt for this musical number. We saw some plot points roll out as the song continued,
which I think
is what helped it.
Right. That's like in season 1 with Kids in America. They did that really well. And then in between season 1 and season 6, nothing good happened.
We've seen it happen here and there. And then we've also seen it the other way where it's like, oh no.
Most of the time it is. Oh,
yes.
No. But what I will say is that I felt like the audience was reacting really weird to this.
Really weird.
Because they're just like hooting and hollering like in the middle of a stanza. Like not when the music goes quiet, not when there's like a wild move. And like, I don't know. I feel like someone in this audience would be like, I'm familiar with this song and start singing along, but like no one here has ever heard Toxic before.
And that cut to Archie was very funny. And actually, it was funny enough that I've just decided that I'm going to make that into a GIF.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. Very similarly to the last time I did that, which was a while ago, Mary's Weird Turn.
God,
yeah, and I feel like that was just as strange and kind of poorly directed.
It was so weird, this whole thing.
And then we get the final little button, which is that Heather shows up, and Heather looks totally fun and cool, and I want to be her best friend. She looks great. And I did look up just like if this was a character that was from Sabrina that they're bringing in, and it is not. This is a new character.
Okay.
But she is from Greendale, and she's definitely giving off a real Greendale vibe in the way she dresses and looks.
Yeah, she was very sexy librarian.
Yeah.
And then at the very, very end of the episode, we see Percival looking like real smug, like, this isn't working, Veronica. And the thing is that, like, he's not wrong that from a business perspective, this is not helping. But in a Riverdale perspective, it is like we're supposed to believe that this is like, oh, Veronica's got the leg up now. She's got the eight legs up now. Heyo.
Yeah, because she sang such a great song. So that's all she needs. All right. So that's that episode. Who was on your power list, Kate?
I have Cheryl is the most powerful in this one. And then Veronica and then Betty.
Yeah, that's a fair list. I have Cheryl at the top as well, but then I have Reggie because of all of his little machinations and Hal.
Okay.
Because of what we learned about Hal this episode. And who's on your crush list?
Reggie.
Sure. You like those bad boys.
I like those bad boys, which are actually like the most well-behaved people on the show.
Yes.
And then Veronica, I liked the like Robert Smith look she was working.
Agreed.
Not normally into him, but like into this Veronica version of him.
Yes.
And then I felt like Jughead was like a little like not put together and like windswept, and I liked that.
Yes, he was looking good this episode. I had Veronica at the top because of her goth look. Then I had Heather, who I'm very excited about. And then I had, because I love her now, and I'm so sad for her.
Alice? I considered Alice.
Yes.
The poor thing deserves it.
Yes, she's on my crush list now. Alice. And Alice was so put together while her daughter was just screaming at her.
Oh my god, the poor thing.
So that's that episode. Wonderful.
Yeah.
What's next week? What's happening?
Chapter 110, Things That Go Bump in the Night.
Oh, super fun. Based on, that's the name of a famous children's book, I believe. That's fun. I think so.
Probably. Or like a chapter in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yes, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Well, that was the most fun. If you enjoyed what you're hearing, once again, you can rate and review us and subscribe to us on all of the podcatchers. That's a great thing to do. You can follow us on social media and write to us, and we're happy to have a little dialogue with you. Super, super, super fun. And thanks to Angeline Mercado, who's our wonderful editor.
And Louis Aronowitz, who wrote the theme song.
And I'm Louis Perlman.
And I'm Kate Vatter.
Bye.
Bye-bye.